Good evening. Tonight we're in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, the Bible reads, "The words of Agur, the son of Jakeh, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learn wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanities and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water and the fire that saith not, it is enough. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, the way of a man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat. For an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely and going. A lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, an he-goat is also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife." Let's pray. Dear Lord God, just thank you for this church you've given us and every soul here right now, Lord. And we just thank you for Pastor and pray that you bless him right now. Fill him with the Holy Spirit, Lord, as he preaches unto us your word, and that us and the congregation can take these truths from your word and apply it to our lives, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're in Proverbs chapter 30 this evening. And the title of my sermon tonight is Repulsive Women. Repulsive Women. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 21, the Bible says here, "For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat." And I want you to notice this in verse 23, "For an odious woman when she is married, and an handmaid that is heir to her mistress." Now, that term odious isn't a word that we would typically use today, but if you just look at the dictionary definition of what an odious woman is, it actually says in the dictionary, extremely unpleasant, repulsive, detestable, highly offensive, repugnant, disgusting. So when the Bible talks about an odious woman, it's referring to an extremely unpleasant woman, a repulsive woman, a detestable woman, a highly offensive woman, a repugnant woman, and a disgusting woman. And so tonight, I want to give you some of the things in the Bible that would characterize a woman as being repulsive. Now, let me start off by saying that I'm just thankful to God that I'm not married to a repulsive woman. I have known my wife for many years on end, and she does not fit the description of any of these characteristics that I'm going to share with you tonight. I believe my wife to be a godly woman. And she doesn't fit this bill. Let me also say this, is that I don't believe anybody in our church, any woman in our church, is a repugnant woman as well. You say, oh, are you just saying that because this is your church? No, I'm saying it because I actually know the ladies in our church. Okay? And I've like talked to the ladies. We've been here for 7 years. And I can't say with a clear conscience that we have any repugnant ladies. Now, I can't say that we've never had them, though. Okay? Because, you know, there's been ladies in the past that have been very repugnant. And in fact, you know, it's kind of interesting. One of these repugnant ladies just walked into the building. This morning service, she was thrown out probably like a year and a half ago, okay, for trying to have relations with the younger men in our church. And she was thrown out, and she had the gall to just waltz in here and sit down in the service. And thankfully, you know, the men caught it, and the ushers escorted her out. And she's like, well, I thought I can be here as long as I repent of that, you know. And the pastor said, if I repent of it, I'm good to go. Actually, you know what I said was, never come back. That's a lot different than, you know, you can come back once you repent of that. Okay, I told her, never come back. You're not welcomed here, because I don't accept older ladies just kind of being a predator and trying to get with the younger single men in our church. That's repulsive, right? And you should find it repulsive as well. But, you know, in general, I think the ladies in our church are very godly. I think we have a great group of ladies here. And you say, well, why are you preaching on this? Well, you know, there's this thing called the internet. And on the internet, because over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of controversy, I've just seen a lot of repulsive women online. And here's the thing. I actually don't care where you stand on this whole issue. It actually does not matter to me at all at this point. I'm actually tired of talking about it, to be quite frank with you. And I don't care if you are on one side or the other. I just care if you're being repulsive or not. Okay? And I'm thankful that even the ladies in our church, if there's ladies in our church that are in disagreement with either my position or my friend's position, they're not being repulsive about it. And you know what? That's highly respectable in our church. You know why? Because it's okay to have a difference of opinion and not be super ugly about it. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about the controversy tonight. I'm just talking about all the nonsense on the internet that makes women repulsive in the eyes of God. And I might call out some names this evening. I don't know. We'll see. Now, first and foremost, let me say this. The most obvious thing that we see in the Bible that's repulsive is a woman who commits adultery, fornication, and has no shame about it, right? And in fact, look in chapter 30 and verse number 20. It says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. You know what that is? That's a repulsive woman who's capable of just committing adultery, going out there and being a whore and doing all these wicked acts, wiping her mouth and saying, there's nothing wrong with that. That's repulsive. That's repulsive in the eyes of God. That whore, according to the Bible, is a deep ditch. And according to the Bible, her steps take hold on hell, right? It's repulsive in the eyes of God. And no Christian should ever have this attitude that it's okay to just commit sin. It's okay to fornicate. It's okay to commit adultery and be a whore and not be ashamed about it. You know, we need to make sure that we constantly proclaim how shameful it is to commit adultery, to get divorced, to commit fornication, to be what the modern term is promiscuous. The Bible just calls it being a whore. Yeah. Being a whoremonger for the dude, being a whore for the girl, for the woman, that's repulsive in the eyes of God. Okay? Now, it says here in Proverbs chapter 30, in verse 21, for three things the earth is disquieted. What does that mean? Well, it's saying that odious women, and obviously there's other things that it's listing right here, but I'm talking specifically about the odious woman. It's saying here that the earth becomes uneasy because of it. Disquieted means uneasy, it's uncomfortable. And he's saying, and for four, which it cannot bear. In other words, this is something that's very annoying. This is something that the earth is just kind of disgusted with. This is something that people just can't take, is a repulsive woman, okay? And this isn't even talking about Christians either. I mean, this is just referring to people in general are disgusted with and can't handle being around an odious woman. Now, go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I literally just have 4 points tonight, and I don't know how long I'm going to preach. I might even preach short because, you know, I'm going to get the point across really quick, and you'll get it. And here's my encouragement to you. Here's my praise of you, by the way. I'm thankful that the women in our church are not repulsive. And this is also a sermon to prevent any woman in the future from becoming repulsive. Okay? And it's also to prevent the single men in the church from ever marrying a woman who is repulsive as well. Because it says an odious woman when she is married. What is that showing? It shows us that she was odious before she got married. And it's even more repulsive when she gets married because she makes her husband's life a living hell. Okay. Now, they learn to be undo. They're just idle. They're just kind of twiddling their thumbs. Instead of, you know, doing the laundry, washing the dishes, cooking a meal, being productive, they're just, you know, kind of scrolling through Facebook the entire time. Idle, wandering about from house to house. Now, we may not understand what that means. It's not talking about soul winning. You know, the New Testament talks about people going house to house, and it's talking about preaching the gospel, right? That's a good thing. House to house means they're being gossipers. Now, of course, we don't understand that today because, you know, if you want to gossip, you don't have to go house to house. You just can go from post to post. Right? So they're idle. They're wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not, the Bible says. What is that talking about? They're just kind of busy in other people's matters, busy about other people's businesses, busy about whatever the common rumor, whatever the gossip is of the time. That's what they're interested in getting involved in, is other men's matters. This is what the Bible calls a busybody, right? They're not busy working. They're not busy making a meal. They're not busy, you know, folding their laundry. They're not busy doing the dishes. They're not busy cleaning their house. They're not busy raising their kids. They're not busy loving their husbands. They're busybodies in other men's matters. It's repulsive. It's disgusting. Verse 14 says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. I want you to notice verse 15. For some are already turned aside after Satan, the Bible says. So what does it equate turning aside after Satan with? It equates it with being idle, wandering from house to house or post to post. Tattlers, busybodies, talking about things which they ought not to. That's what the Bible says, right? Amen. This, let me just condense what this is referring to. Running their mouths. Yeah. Okay. And I've seen this, obviously, this week, last week, just a lot of people. And let me just be 100% transparent with you guys. A lot of people running their mouths on both sides.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Amen.
Oh, I thought you already picked a side. I'm siding with the truth. But at the end of the day, I don't like repulsive women, whether they're right or wrong.
Right.
I don't like it, you know. I think it's repulsive for a woman to just run her mouth and just, you know, rebuke pastors. Oh, and by the way, 1 Timothy chapter 5, what does verse 1 say? Oh, rebuke not an elder. That's interesting. But entreat him as a father. And the younger, repulsive women, abstaining from the drama. Right? It sounds to me like the women in our church are busy, like, doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's what I think, you know. You say, well, what's your wife's opinion on this? I don't even think she has an opinion on this because she's not on social media. My wife's, like, never on comment sections. She's never looking through things. Why? Because she has 5 kids at home to take care of. She doesn't have time to look through all the videos. She doesn't have time to look through all the comments. Why? Because she has to iron my clothes. She has to clean the house. She has to get things ready for dinner. She has to give baths to the kids. She has to homeschool the kids. So she doesn't really have time to kind of just be a busybody about other men's matters. And you know what? I'm going to say something right now that I said in that meeting. I'm going to tell you something right now. Your opinion and my opinion means diddly squat in another church.
Amen.
My opinion will do nothing for another church. And your opinion won't do nothing either. So why don't we just be productive and focus on what's going on here? Here's a great idea. Why don't you just, like, get rid of Facebook and Instagram altogether? Because I know there's men who are being busybodies too. But, you know, the sermon is repulsive women, though. I'll get on repulsive men another day. And repulsive men is just easy. Just don't be feminine, you know. And you know, act like a girl and be all emotional and you won't be repulsive. But this sermon is about the women, though. Okay. Proverbs chapter 9, go to Proverbs chapter 9 if you would. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs 7, verse 10. Now this is referring to a harlot, or at least a woman who's wearing the attire of a harlot. But it applies to this because it says in verse 11 that she is loud and stubborn. I want you to notice that being loud and stubborn is actually not a virtue. This is a negative connotation that the Bible's adding to a woman. And he's saying this is not a comely feature. This is not a comely characteristic. He's saying she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. What does that mean? She's not a homegirl. She's not a homegirl just kind of being a keeper at home, leading about her children. She's going from house to house, involved in other people's matters. Loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. What's another thing? Look at Proverbs 9, verse 13. It says here, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Now, what does clamorous mean? Well, another word for clamorous is basically a murmur and a complainer. So it's saying that the foolish woman is clamorous, meaning all she does is complain. All she does is murmur, and it goes on to say that she is simple. What's another way of saying simple? Well, it defines for us right there. She doesn't know anything. So she's just kind of talking out of her neck without all the information, just kind of coming to conclusions, just being simple and clamorous. That's what the Bible condemns. Proverbs 27, go to Proverbs 27. I don't know if you notice this, but everything that I'm mentioning right now is things that feminists do. So if you're offended at this, then I'm offended at you for being a feminist-loving person. Because here's the thing, folks, and let me just say this, feminists are super repulsive, super disgusting, but I'll be honest with you, there's something worse than a feminist. You say, what? A Christian feminist. Because the Christian feminist actually claims to believe the Bible. A Christian feminist actually claims to believe the book of Proverbs, all the while just completely negating and just denying every single teaching about this, and will make excuses why they do all these things. Right? So that's even more repulsive, is when you have a believer who claims to believe the Bible, is a Christian, claims to uphold Christian virtue, and claims to even be fighting for, you know, the family and marriage, all the while literally doing these things right here. That's repulsive. Look at Proverbs 27, verse 15. The Bible warned us of this. It says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Now, the way I kind of interpret that is a nagging woman, right? Just kind of... Now, I've never experienced this personally in my life because my wife does not nag me. In fact, sometimes I have to just like ask her a ton of questions to, just to get her to get... Like, just tell me what you mean. Like, just say something. Posting on her stories, Graham, and everyone here knows what I'm talking about if you're on there. Yeah. And you know exactly who I'm talking about. Come on. She's a continual dropping. Yeah. Her and her little clique. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just apply it to someone who you do. Right. You know, when I click on a story and it's just like these tiny little dots. In fact, there's someone in our church who sent me this, and it was like a screenshot. It was so funny. They're so tiny. They're so small, right? I mean, because there's so many of them, of the stories, it looked like raindrops. It was just like, it was like 100 of them. And they're all saying the exact same thing. What is it? Just being contentious. Let me just give you a little word of advice for you single ladies. You will never find a dude like that. And if you do, you're going to find someone who is just, you're going to walk all over. He's not a strong leader. Is effeminate as the day is long, and is blind. Yep. Physically. Foolish. It's repulsive. And you know, I don't know if these women think like guys are going to look at these posts and be like, wow, what a godly woman. This is what I'm talking about right here. Come on, you go for it, sister. Let's see it. You know, continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. They're clamorous, they complain, they're loud, and they're stubborn. It's repulsive. It's disgusting. Go to Numbers chapter 12, if you would. Numbers chapter 12. And let me just say this about the new IFB. I'm new IFB. But there's a lot of loudmouth feminists in the new IFB, too. There's a ton of them. And you know what? Some of them, a lot of them go to different churches who claim to be new IFB. Yep. A lot of women claim new IFB, and they're just a bunch of loudmouths. And one thing I've noticed about this whole entire thing, about this whole controversy, is how many feminists are actually out there in the new IFB. That's a fact. It's disgusting. I don't want my daughters to be like you. Stay away from me. Stay away from my church. Stay away from my family. Stay away from our women. I don't want you to poison any of the ladies in our church with your demonic feminist values. All your repulsive, disgusting comments and your attitude. You're acting like a man or something. Let me give you an example. Look at Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman." Now let me say this, is that that's none of your business, Miriam and Aaron. It's none of your business. You know, a lot of stuff is just none of our business. And if we're in the 2000s, 2010s, we just would not know about this at all. And you could live happily ever after. That's how life used to be. But we're just so enthralled in everyone's business nowadays. And it's affecting your attitude. It's affecting your spirit. Miriam and Aaron, it's none of your business. If he wants to marry some black Ethiopian woman, that's what he, you know, that's what rocks his boat or whatever. That's what he's into. You know, you may not like black girls, but he apparently does. They're speaking against Moses because he married a black chick. And we don't know how the whole conversation went, but they're angry at this. I don't know if they're just racist against Ethiopians or something like that, and she's just too black, or I don't know what it is. But there's a reason why the Bible's telling us she's an Ethiopian woman, and there's a reason it's saying that they spake against them because of the Ethiopian woman. I could have just said, you know, they spake against Moses because of the woman he had married. But it specifically says the Ethiopian woman he had married. And it's just like, that's none of your business. You're speaking against the man of God because of whom he chose to marry? It's nonsense. Yeah. Verse 2 says, "And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud, stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches." By the way, mouth to mouth simply means face to face, right? "And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed." So he rebukes them. He says, I don't know who you think you are. If I'm going to talk to him, let me talk to him. This is not your place. And let me say this. You know, the new IFB, let me just remind everyone here, is not a denomination. I thought we've been saying that for years. I thought we've explained to everyone how we're independent. Why is everyone still trying to make it a denomination? A denomination takes a vote and gets someone out. Yep. We're not a denomination. This is an independent fundamental Baptist church. Amen. And I'm not rejoicing over the fact that, you know, the new IFB churches have split and they're all in different camps or whatever. I'm not rejoicing over it, but maybe it's just like, well, I guess that had to happen in order to teach some people that we're supposed to be independent. And not a denomination. Right. And to teach people that what goes on in different churches is their business, not ours. It doesn't affect you at all. Right. And you know what? This happened in the old IFB as well. The old IFB obviously is bigger than the new IFB, but the old IFB is in tons of different camps. Because they split into tons of different issues. It always happens. And it's almost as if God allows that to prevent a denomination from forming. Because denomination is not God's will. And you know what? We got enough issues here. I have enough issues with you guys. I have enough issues with people in our church. And I'm not saying our church is just filled with problems. I'm just saying we're sinners. And you know what? I got my hands full here. So Miriam and Aaron, they're just murmuring. She's being a loudmouth. Like, well, why don't you call him a loudmouth? Well, look at verse 10. "And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. Behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Now, you know, by process of elimination, it seems to me as though maybe Miriam was the one running her mouth in this situation. And Aaron, her weakling brother, is just kind of going along with it. She's probably the ringleader of the whole situation, which is why she's being punished. And what happens to her? She becomes leprous. Here's another way of saying it. She became repulsive. It says in verse 11, Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned." And of course, they end up interceding on her behalf. And God's like, if her father had but spit in her face, shouldn't she be out of the camp for 7 days? Like, she should suffer the consequences of this. She's repulsive. Why? Because she got involved in business that doesn't belong to her. Folks, it's repulsive when a woman who the Bible tells to be meek and quiet is just constantly running her mouth online, constantly running. And by the way, this applies in marriage as well. It's repulsive to your husband if you're just constantly nagging at him.
Yeah.
You know what? This is not going to be a Me Too church.
Amen.
This is not going to be a woman-run church.
That's good.
This is not going to be a female-run church.
Amen.
And no mob on the internet is going to cause me to capitulate and change the dynamics of our church just because of what's going on out there.
Amen.
The Bible still says that a wife is to submit to her husband. The Bible says that a man is to rule over his wife. And you know what? I'm not going to give in to that. I'm not going to give in to the whims of the mob online to try to get us to think that there's some boogeyman out there and they're trying to change the dynamics of our church. It's not going to happen. And you know what? If that's not for you, then go to the non-denom Calvary Chapel Church with the weakling pastor that doesn't stand on those issues because he doesn't want to offend you. Plain and simple, folks. You know, I love you, but I love you too much not to tell you the truth. I want to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. And you know what? There's an attack on the family right now. There's an attack on marriage right now. There's an attack on child rearing right now. There's an attack on fundamental Baptist churches right now. And you know who's at the spear of all that? Christians, unfortunately. You know who's at the spear of all that? Loudmouth women, repulsive women, who can't seem to shut up. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to speak from the heart tonight because obviously I'm angry about this, but you know what? I'm kind of taxed on this whole thing, so I'm probably not going to raise my voice very much, but I am going to be transparent with you. Here's the proper biblical attitude to have. I'm not about to just capitulate to this feminist ideology that's trying to infiltrate churches. And let me just make it very clear, though, because, you know, just in case anybody's wondering, I'm not for spousal abuse, and I don't believe my friends are either. Did you know I can hold both of those positions at the same time? I'm not.
Amen.
So do you beat your wife? No, I don't. Never have, never will.
Amen.
She already knows I'm strong, you know? I don't have to prove myself to her or whatever. It's like, well, don't you ever get mad at your wife? Yeah, but not to the point where I want to whoop her.
Yeah.
I've actually never had that thought. And you know what? I don't think my pastor friends have either. And you know what? I'm not going to just follow anybody off a cliff. And, you know, obviously people are wrong and we find out that it's wrong, then it's wrong. Plain and simple. But you know, my position is not changing.
Amen.
So don't accuse me of believing in spousal abuse or something like that. I don't believe in that crap.
Amen. Correct.
It's nonsense. Just because I support someone who also claims to not believe in that, but you believe he's involved in that, doesn't mean that I believe in it. You get what I'm saying? You believe in disciplining children? Of course I believe in it. That's what the Bible teaches that. What do you do when your wife disobeys you? I mean, what do I do? I don't know. What do I just get disappointed, I guess. Right? I just get disappointed. But rarely, if ever, does that ever happen. My wife is not just like just running her mouth at me talking about how she's not going to obey my commands or something like that. I have a great relationship with my wife. You know? Well, have you ever laid hands on your wife? Of course. It's called marriage. I have to hold her at one time or another. Folks, it's nonsense. And you know what? I'm not going to let the mob try to pressure me and bully us into just capitulating to their whims because it's trying to infiltrate these churches and try to bring in this feminist ideology. It's not happening. And you know what? I hope that you know me as a pastor and you respect my judgment. You don't have to agree with everything that I say. I don't expect you to agree, but I just expect you to have the maturity to respect the judgment, respect the reputation, respect my track record as your pastor.
Amen.
And you know what? Just nicely disagree and say, I disagree, but you're still my pastor. This is still my church. That's what I expect. Because you know what? You think I agree with everyone in here? You think there's things that you do that I'm 100% on board with? No, because we're all human. But we're all autonomous beings that we have the right to have our own opinions of everything. And you know what? We can still live peaceably one with another in spite of that. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Oh, no. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, don't get that conversation mixed up. We use conversation today as in like speech, talking one to another. Conversation here means conduct.
Right.
So the way you win your husband over, the way you can get him to kind of see it your way is by submitting to him, being a godly woman, being a godly spouse, and he'll give in to that.
Right.
Say, well, how do you know? Because my wife does it to me all the time. Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, not loud and stubborn.
Right.
Well, you're being loud right now because I'm preaching, that's why. It says meek and quiet, which is in the sight of God of great price. So if being meek and quiet is in the sight of God of great price, what's it like to be what price is it to be a repulsive woman in the eyes of God? It means it's a worthless woman who's just constantly running her mouth, constantly commenting, constantly attacking men of God. Did you know you could disagree with the pastor and not even like a pastor without vocalizing it? I don't know if you know that. Did you know it's possible to just not like a certain pastor and just not even have to say anything about it? Or do you feel like just the world has to know?
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
And I know I'm preaching to the choir here because virtually every woman here has basically abstained from doing that. I'm preaching to the choir. I get it. And I know I'm probably preaching to women who probably disagree with my, you know, stance. But you know what? They're godly. They're meek and quiet. And they don't want to be characterized as being a repulsive woman. Go to Ephesians chapter, go to 2 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings 21, 1 Kings 21. That was point number one. Repulsive women are loud mouths. They have no discretion. They can't seem to keep their mouth shut. They just want to constantly fight and argue and post and just be repulsive. And I'm disgusted by that. But you know what? Let me also say this. Let's get a little personal here. Repulsive women marry pushover husbands. Because it says for an odious woman when she is married. You see, repulsive women can often be strong-willed women, which a strong-willed woman is nothing wrong with that as long as the man is a little stronger-willed. But often the repulsive woman will often seek the pushover male. Because they actually don't like to be ruled over. They want to do the ruling. But the Bible tells us, you don't have to turn there in Genesis 3:16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire should be to thy husband, and listen to this, he shall rule over thee. Now I want you to notice, this is Genesis chapter 3, it's not the New Testament. This is actually not for Christians exclusively. Who is this for? Mankind. And he's telling mankind, the man shall rule over thee. And we don't have time to go through all the verses. You know that the Bible talks about wives submit to your husbands and all that. When I think of this particular point here, You know, I think of Ahab. I think a while ago I preached a sermon called Ahab the Henpecked Husband. And you know what? Ahab was super wicked, but his wife was even more wicked. And in fact, look at 1 Kings 21, verse 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. So what is it saying? Ahab was super wicked. He's selling himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. But I want you to notice this last part. Whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up, the Bible says. So what does that mean? It means Jezebel was always behind him, pushing him to do more wickedly and more wickedly. Why? Because Ahab is a pushover. You know, there's a pastor out there who was really, you know, he's just constantly involved in controversy. He wants to see the downfall of the new IFB. And I know a lot of you don't know who he is, and that's fine. His name is Tommy McMurtry. If you don't know who that is, I don't blame you. And I'm not joking. When I preached on him the last time, one of my church members said, my mom came up to me and said, so who's this McFlurry pastor? She couldn't even get his name right. And you know what? This guy's always surrounded with controversy, and so is his wife. Every single time. And he thinks that just because he called me out on a podcast and saying, he's a punk, that like that's going to stop me or that's going to intimidate me or something like that. Let me explain to you why I'm not a punk. I don't have my wife fighting my battles. When's the last time you saw Sarah Mejia on any of my social media platforms just defending me and just digging up dirt and saying, just unleash me. Just let me go and unleash me. Let me have Adam. You know my wife. That's so out of her character to ever even. Can you even picture my wife saying something like that? I mean, she's embarrassed right now that I'm even, you know, giving that illustration that she would do something like that. Why? Because my wife is not a repulsive woman. That's why. She doesn't fight my battles. That's why. That's why I'm not a punk. A punk requires his wife to come and do the battling for him. Sorry, Tommy, but that makes you the punk. And you know what? He can nag all he wants and run his mouth, and his sons can run their mouth, and they can say all they want. But you know what? We all know the truth about that. He's gently led. And I don't, listen to me. I'm making this a point because it's important. I don't think he's like a false prophet. I don't think he's like not saved or anything like that. Right. I honestly think he's just like an Ahab who his wife just stirs up. Yep. Plain and simple. And I don't care what side you're on. I don't care what side you're on. You know for a fact that is true. Amen. Because I've talked to people who disagree with me and they're like, oh yeah, that's like nonsense what they do. The guy's always involved in all the controversy because he needs to get his views up. Fact. And you know what? I'm not afraid of Jezebel. I'm not afraid of a gently led sister. I'm not afraid of a pastor who's offended at the truth. The truth is the truth, whether you like it or not. And you know what? You can clip this and put it on your stupid podcast and try to get 1,000 views for it. I'll give it to you. I don't care. Yeah. And let me explain to you something about repulsive women who marry pushover husbands. Okay? Because obviously the repulsive woman is loud, right? She voices her opinion a lot. Often she will voice her opinion more than her husband. Right? Well, often when that happens, you know, in order to save face, the husband, what he'll often do is act like he agrees with his wife. And even try to imply that it originated with him or something. That happens all the time. Because it looks bad. So it's just like, well, I agree with my wife on that. Actually, I'm the one who came up with that or something. But really what it is that their wives are constantly running their mouths. And in order for them not to look weak before the people, they have to agree with it and say, well, yeah, we both agree on that. No, you don't. Men who marry women like this try to make it seem as though they agree with their wives. But the truth is they don't really agree with their wives. They just want to hear them. They don't want to hear them nag them all the time. So they allow themselves to be pushovers. And say, well, I actually agree with that. No, you don't. Go to Proverbs 21. Here's a good way to explain it, okay? The Bible puts it best. Look at Proverbs 21. By the way, this goes for Amanda Gander, too.
Yeah. Come on.
Where's her husband at, by the way? The guy, like, disappeared off the face of the earth. Proverbs 21, verse 9, it says, "It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with the brawling woman in a white house." You know, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop agreeing with your wife than in the house brawling with them. And what this is showing us here is that when a man marries a repulsive woman who only wants to fight, people online, other pastors, other people, you know, all he has no choice but to give in to whatever she's saying. Because then he looks bad as a leader. And folks, men, let me just say this. Don't let your wives fight your battles for you. You fight your battles. Amen. You lead your home. Amen. And you know what? Don't let your sons fight your battles either. Yeah. Plain and simple. You know, fight your own battles and be a leader. And here's the thing, folks, is that at the end of the day, again, I don't think he's a false prophet. I think he just likes to meddle in other men's matters. And I do think his wife is a loudmouth. Yeah. And you know what? She's repulsive to me. Amen. I don't care if that offends you. It's a fact. If you don't think I'm right, then you're just going to have to debunk it with all the verses that I just showed right now and show me how she hasn't done those things. Look at verse 19. It says, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." Let me ask you this. Why are these women, why do they have so much time? Where do they get all the time to say all this? Where do they get all the time? Isn't there enough to do in the house? Isn't there enough meals to cook? Isn't there, I thought there's just like this perpetual laundry that needs to be folded. Isn't there a house to clean? Isn't there a book to read? Isn't there a child to teach? But instead, you want to waste your time doom scrolling, getting involved in other people's business, running your mouth, being repulsive.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it. It makes me want to throw up. You know, they're suffering that woman to teach those people in that church and teach the women in that church to usurp authority. And of course, he's going to deny it. Go to Ecclesiastes 7. Let me give you a warning to those of you single men. I want to warn you to just never get involved with a woman like this. Let me just say this. You know, we're going to do the No Media November. Okay, and I know some of you are like twitching at that and just like, you know, you're just kind of freaking out over that. I think it's going to be great for our church. Some of these women online need to do No Media November too. Because they're always on there. It's like they live on there. Yeah. And you know, I'm on social media and I upload content sometimes, but I'm sick of social media. I'll just be honest with you. Yeah. Single men, avoid a woman like this. Amen. It's not worth it. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes 7:6. Solomon speaking facts here. He says, "I find more bitter than death a woman." Dang. What a way to start a line there. More bitter than death, the woman. He's like, the worse than dying is the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. You know what this is telling me? Any man who ends up with a woman like this is like living in a prison. They're stuck. Can't do anything about it. It's miserable. It's repulsive. It's detestable. It's hateful. It's disgusting. It makes men's lives miserable. Go to Esther chapter 1. Esther chapter 1. You came to hear preaching tonight. You came to hear the truth tonight. And I don't think anything I've said is unbiblical. And in fact, everything that I've said tonight, I've said in previous sermons. Right? So if you get offended at this, nothing has changed. Other than the application. But the doctrine is still the same. Yep. All right, let's move on here. Number three, repulsive women enable rebellion in other women. Look at Esther 1, verse 10. It says, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and their prince and the princess her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come out at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Look at verse 15, if you would. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law? Because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes. When it shall be reported, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall they arise too much contempt and wrath, the Bible says. What is he saying? Because of Vashti's disobedience to her husband, that's going to enable other women to become rebellious towards their husbands as well. You think that's pleasing to God? For you to just rebel against your husband? For you to have contempt and disrespect towards your husband? Where did you learn that from? I'll tell you who you learned it from. From Vashti in that YouTube channel, Gently Led Vashtis. That's where you learned it from. Because it's never right for you to hate your husband. It's never right to have contempt. It's never right for you to disobey your husband. Yeah, but what about sin? Shut up with that stupid question. Obviously, it's never right for you to sin. And you know what? I don't know any man in here who's going to tell his wife to sin. It's not sin to make a meal. It's not sin for any man to request anything of his wife. Right? Anything. Right? The physical relationship, a meal, whatever it is, it's always right to do those things, to ask for that. Because that's how God ordered it. It's wrong to disobey it. And I don't give a rip about the feminist mob online that says otherwise. Why? Because they're repulsive to me. I don't listen to repulsive people. Plain and simple. Go to Titus chapter 2, if you would. Titus chapter 2. It's never right to disobey your husband. And you know what? Husbands aren't perfect, okay? Wow. Your husband's not perfect. He's not Jesus. He's not even Abraham. He's not Moses. He's barely Peter. If that. But you know what the Bible tells us? It tells us that you should submit to him regardless of that.
Right.
It's right to do. It's always right to do. Don't allow this feminist nonsense to infiltrate your home, your marriage, our church. And by the way, hell will freeze over before I allow. I will lose half of the church before I allow that to infiltrate our church. I will say peace out to all of you. You say, well, then how are you going to run the church? I will pastor a church of five if I have to. Because I've always had a bias for truth, no matter what. I've always had a bias for the Bible. And you know what? I refuse to compromise on what the Bible says about these things. I will not allow a feminist attitude and a feminist spirit to infiltrate this church where the women begin to despise their husbands.
Amen.
They begin to be loudmouths and repulsive and detestable. I'm not going to have that attitude in our church.
Amen.
You know what? Take that to some liberal, non-denom church. Hey, take it to Pastor McMurtry's church.
Yeah.
They love that stuff over there.
Yep.
Take it to that church.
Right.
Move yourself to that church. Because they accept that garbage over there.
Yep.
I'm not going to accept it here. I don't care if I lose half the church. Because you know what? I fear God. That's why.
Amen.
You know what? I love the people of our church, but let me let you in on a little secret. I love Jesus more.
Amen.
And you know what? I have to give an account to God for you.
Yep.
And I'm not going to compromise the Bible just because I want to appease you. I'm going to lovingly tell you the truth. But you know what? If you can't abide in this church under my leadership with this type of preaching and my stance against feminism and all this garbage that's going on, you might want to find yourself a new church. I don't want that, but you know what? Maybe that's the case. But you know what? If you don't want that, then stay here and stop buying into all that feminist crap. Amen. They enable other women to become brazen, bold, to despise their husbands. One of the cringiest things I've seen online is when a husband and a wife literally have differences of opinion about this whole situation. It boggles my mind. It boggles my mind. I'm thinking, well, can you both at least hate Pastor Anderson? Can you guys just agree on something? It's weird. Be on the same page. But you know what it is? Feminism. And I'm joking about hating Pastor Anderson, obviously. I'm exaggerating. The point that I'm making here is that we need unity in marriages. And feminism is seeking to divide that unity. Hey, it's time to man up. Man up. Man up in your marriage. Lead your wife. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Does that mean you're going to have a perfect marriage? Obviously not, because we're all sinners. But you know what? We need to do what the Bible says regardless of what the outcome is. I can't stand repulsive women. Why? Because it's disgusting. You know, I can't stand these new IFB repulsive women who are running their mouths, enabling others to also hate their husbands, criticizing men of God, criticizing churches, getting involved in other people's matters. I'm sick of it. Shut up, delete the app, and go bake a freaking bread. A loaf of bread. Go do something for your husband.
Yeah.
Number four. Repulsive women blaspheme the word of God.
Yep.
I don't care if you're right. I don't care if you're right. Look at Titus 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Huh. Not false accusers. Huh. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things. Just unleash me. Just let me go. That they teach the younger women to be sober. Unleash me. To love their husbands. To love their children. To be discreet, unleash me. Let me go. Let me have Adam. Be discreet. Chaste. Keepers at home. Good. That's pretty self-explanatory right there. Can you just be good? How about practicing just being good? You good? Obedient to their own husbands. And what is the effect? What is the result if they don't do these things? Don't do what things? Teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. If they're not being discreet, if they're not being chaste, if they're not being keepers at home, if they're not being good, if they're not obeying their own husbands, if they're not, they don't have behavior as becometh holiness, if they're involved in being a false accuser, they're given to much wine, if they're not teaching good things, what does the Bible say happens? Look at the end of verse 5. That the word of God be not blasphemed. You know what I saw this week? The word of God just being blasphemed left and right by women.
Yep.
Repulsive women. What's the point that I'm making? You know what? I can't control what's going on in other churches. I just could tell you what should be going on here. And I can control what goes on here to a certain extent. I'm not the Baptist police, but you know what? I'm here to kind of tell you what's right and what's wrong. And you know what? I'll be damned if I allow all this filthy feminist nonsense to infiltrate our church even if they think that they're right. Because you know what? Why can't you be like the ladies in our church? And I'm not saying there's a lot because I don't think there is. But you know, why can't you be like the ladies in our church who actually disagree, but they have a sweet spirit about it? Right? Why do you have to be ugly about it? Why do you have to be brazen about it? Why do you have to be indiscreet about it? Why do you have to be loud about it? Why do you have to be stubborn about it? Why do you have to bring railing accusations about it? Why can't you just be meek and quiet about it? Oh, because you just want to be unleashed. Okay, then be a blasphemer. And you know what I'm talking about when I say a repulsive woman? I'm talking about a blasphemer. They're blasphemers, willingly blaspheming the word of God by their conduct and by their actions.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
Amen.
I think everyone can agree here.
Yep.
Have I really said anything controversial here? I don't think so. Have I said anything offensive to you? I don't think so. The only people this offends are those who are actually involved in this repulsive conduct. That's the only people. And you know what? If you're offended by this, then you are repulsive.
Amen.
You're disgusting. You're repulsive. And get right with God.
Amen.
That's it. What's the point? The point is, you know what? I find the most repulsive and odious is not just the feminist. The feminist is pretty repulsive with their blue hair and, you know, them screaming that they want their right to have abortion when it's like, bro, no one's going to touch you because you're so ugly. You're a dyke. Like, what are you talking about? But you know what's more repulsive than that is the Christian feminist.
Yeah.
The one who does it in the name of Christ. And you know what? Maybe some of you do need to hear this. Because maybe you're a woman here who is zealous for the things of God. And you want to defend godly men. But you know what? Maybe that's not your place, though. You know, there's things that we can better do with our time than just being online and doom scrolling and just getting involved with every controversy, being tossed to and fro, cared about with every wind of doctrine. Let me ask you this. If you were to stand before the Lord, do you think he would approve of that? If you say, Lord, I've just been going through hours and hours of comments and post and just telling my, do you think he'd be like, I don't think so. You think that's really good stewardship of your time? Just filling your mind with all that junk? No. I think the Lord wants us to be busy about the Lord's business. I think the Lord wants you to be busy about your husband, busy about your children. And if you're not married, busy about getting ready to get married. And listen to this, you know, serving the Lord without distraction. And let me just remind you, being on social media is not serving the Lord. Did you know putting verses in a comment section and arguing with pastors and condemning them is actually not serving the Lord? It's true. You did nothing. It's going to burn at the judgment seat of Christ. Plain and simple. It does nothing for you. Well, it does do one thing. It makes you repulsive. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And thank you for the Bible. And I pray, I thank you for the women in our church, Lord. I'm thankful for my wife and the godly examples that we have in our church, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to keep feminism out of the church. And Lord, I pray these women online would get right with God and go about their business as wives and mothers, Christians. Lord, may you bless them and help them, Lord, to redirect their attention to things that actually matter. And of course, we know there's a lot of wicked women out there, Lord. May you shut their mouths and keep them from attacking people, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you bless our church. Give us wisdom. Give us unity. We love you and we thank you. May you be honored and glorified in all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Song number 212, Oh Happy Day. Song number 212 as our last song. Song number 212. We'll sing. sing it on that first verse tonight. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Oh, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day.